Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I like to sing. I really, really like to sing. I was part of so many choirs growing up, I couldn't even tell you. I was part of my church's choir. Well, part of it, I should say. Our organist slash music director forced me to join his choir. I was taking organ lessons with him one day, and he's like, "You got a good voice. You're part of the choir." Just like that, I was in. But I love singing. I continued on with it in college, and I was part of the chapel choirs there at Concordia Chicago. I was part of the cappella, the touring group. And when I got to seminary, I still sang. My second year, I was part of the men's touring group, La Damus, it was called. We sang a lot of fun songs. We traveled all around the Midwest. But there was one song that I always liked better than all the rest. You always have that one song that you always love singing in choir, that one that you always look forward to in a concert, that you're like, yes, my voice might be giving out of me, but I will sing this. For me, it was a very simple, that year, gospel hymn. I couldn't even tell you why I liked it. It was simple. The words weren't anything complicated. It was in English, thank the Lord. And it was just a nice song. It was called "Keep Your Lamps Trimmed and Burning." I'd encourage you all to actually listen to it this week. It's a very beautiful song. And I just remember the refrain. It was very, like I said, it was a simple song. Whereas this gospel hymn was just, "Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, for the time is drawing nigh." Our gospel lesson today is about what this song was talking about. The parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish ones. Now, with so many of Jesus' parables, there's many ways you can interpret this. It actually depends upon where Jesus is at the time and who he's talking to. Why is he telling this particular audience this particular parable? Well, we have some choices here. First of all, we have to know when Jesus was speaking this parable. See, it definitely changes meaning sometimes. See, a lot of Jesus' older parables, when he is out in the kingdom of Israel, when he's out and doing his ministry for so many years, he talks about so many things. While he's out with the people, he's talking about the kingdom of God and how it looks. We had this with the parable of the sower. He talks about then also the last day. We've had this with the parable of the fish. We have this where the angels will come and they'll separate the good from the bad. But now we have this parable. And it always confused me as a kid. It would just seem so much different for some reason than all the other ones. I couldn't really put my hand on it. Couldn't put my finger on it. Jesus was telling this parable to his disciples. And it was just them. Just the immediate 12 disciples. And it wasn't on a random hilltop. It wasn't in a home, or it could have been in a home. But this parable was told in the last days of his life. This parable was told to his disciples days before Christ would die on the cross. Just before this parable, actually, Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem. And he laid out everything that the people were doing wrong. He actually cried and wept for Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets of God. Then he goes on and he tells his disciples to watch out. As they're leaving the courts, he tells his disciples to watch out for a day that is coming soon that Jerusalem will be destroyed, that the people will be killed, it'll be put to the city, and the temple of God will be destroyed. This actually happens in 70 AD when Rome puts down a violent uprising in Jerusalem and scatters the Christian faith. And then he tells them this parable. See, there were five, there are 10 virgins. Five are wise and five are foolish. One group brought enough oil and they trimmed their lamps. The other ones didn't. When the bridegroom came, they were immediately happy. So they brought out their lamps, they lit them, and they were out, and they were looking for him, but only five of them were, because the five who were foolish, well, they didn't bring enough oil to last a long time. So they actually asked the other virgins, well, please give us some of yours. And the other virgins said, no. And that always struck me as odd. How many of us, if we had something extra, we wouldn't be giving to someone else who is in need? In fact, during the time of Thanksgiving, this month of November, that is entirely what many missions around the church, many missions around the world do, give to people who are in need. So why would the five smart virgins, the wise virgins, not give the oil to the foolish? And even further yet, further in the story, when the foolish virgins go and they buy the oil and then they miss the bridegroom coming in, when they go and they say, hey, can you please let us in? The bridegroom says, no. Now, how many of us, if we had people who we were expecting, but they were somehow running late, they were there, they forgot something, they went home to grab it, how many of us wouldn't let them in to our house? We would. That's common courtesy. So why is this so different? Why does this story, this parable of Jesus that he's telling his disciples, fly in the face of what we consider generosity, what we consider hospitality? An entire month where in a couple of weeks we'll be opening our homes and having great amount of food, and we are giving so much food now away to so many great people. Why is this story here in November? See, the story has been told many times, sometimes right and sometimes wrong, because it's not about the five foolish virgins not having this stuff, and it's not about the five wise virgins not giving out what they need, and it's not about the bridegroom coming and not letting people in. Jesus told the story because he knew what was going to happen. Going back to the song that I love so much, Keep Your Lamps Trimmed and Burning, there's the first verse. It's a very simple verse, like I said. It's a great song. It says, children don't get weary. Children don't get weary. Children don't get weary, for the time is drawing nigh. Jesus told this story to his disciples mere days before he would die on the cross. It was for them to learn about what he was going to do. He was going to leave them soon in a world that was dark, in a place where the people wanted to kill them, where there would be much persecution, and even the destruction of Jerusalem itself. He told them this story because the virgins in this story are not what some people have called believers and unbelievers. They're us. All 10 of them are Christian. All 10 of them knew the bridegroom, Christ, was coming. 5 brought oil and trimmings for their lamps. They were prepared. They were ready. They were ready to see the bridegroom come and celebrate with him. But 5 were not ready. They didn't prepare themselves rightly for the bridegroom to come. They didn't take what was needed, do what was needed. And so when the time came and the bridegroom was coming, they had nothing. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus was telling his disciples and us this message to be ready. We are to do what God has commanded us. He wanted his disciples to know that he was coming again and to not grow weary, to keep their lamps trimmed and burning, to do what all the things that he commanded of them. Because if they didn't, they would be unprepared. Once again, this seems harsh. Jesus is a loving God, a loving Savior. He came upon this world to deliver all people from their sins. He went to the cross just a few days later and died and rose again and gave the promise that he was coming again. So why is Jesus saying these things? When I was a kid, this entire parable made me confused. And then as I got older, Jesus was saying the same thing way before in the beginning of his ministry. In the beginning of his ministry, we actually started this church here on a mountaintop where Jesus was proclaiming the Beatitudes, the blessed are they who are poor, the blessed, all those. And he actually said in that, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, on the last day will be saved. Harsh words. And his story goes right back to it. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus wanted his disciples to know what was happening, to know what was coming. He loved them. He wanted them to be prepared. He loved them so much that he was telling them time and time again, keep your lamps, the light of your faith, burning. Keep them well fed. The time is drawing nigh when there will be people coming after you, people who will hurt you, times when your faith and their light will seem to dim, it'll waver. But keep your lamps trimmed and burning. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, he's telling us the same thing today. It seems hard. The month of November is noted in the church year to be talking about mostly the end times. And make no mistake, my brothers and sisters, we are living in these end times. It's scary. It seems like every single month there's a new shooting that happens in our country. Every single week it seems as if the church is having less and less to say in our society. We're becoming more and more outdated, more pushed to the sidelines. More and more it seems that what we do makes no difference. It's hard to keep a light of faith burning when all others seem to be wanting to take it out. But we know Christ is there. We know that he will come again. Paul's letter today that we read gives us hope. It gives us hope that we wait for Christ to come, not in dread, but in hope and love and securement. Because we know that he loves us. We know that he will come again for us. The last verse of the song is once again simple. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. The time is coming nigh. Our journey in Christ will continue. It will continue as it did for the disciples when they heard this message. They continued. All throughout their lives, they were in darkness. They were persecuted. But they kept their faith alive. They believed in the promises of Christ. They believed he was coming again. So they went out and they spread his message throughout all the world. And here we stand today, some thousands of years later, worshiping the same God, singing songs that our ancestors sang before us, giving praise to him who promises to come again. We go out into this world just as his disciples did, remembering even his words, Christ's words, before he said these things. Going back to the Beatitudes, we go and we love our neighbors as ourselves. We love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and all of our mind. Instead of putting people down, we uplift them in Christ. Instead of keeping silent when there is evil, we speak out against it. Where there is someone who is in sorrow, someone who is in need, we as the church and as Christians give out a welcoming hand and a promise that we will be there for them. We do these things not because we are afraid that we will be caught unaware, without our oil ready, without our lamps trimmed, but we do it because we follow Christ, who comes soon. It was one of my favorite songs. It really gets to the heart of the message. Our journey in Christ will soon be over. He will come again one day in glory. Our faith will be lit. Our lamps will be trimmed. So my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, keep your lamps trimmed in Christ. Keep the fire of your faith well fueled by him and by putting your trust and love in Christ. For our Christian journey will soon be over, and the time of his return is drawing nigh. Amen.